You are about to listen to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. The Snow Nose Gardening Show is the longest running gardening show in America. The Snows will talk gardening, answer your questions, and have a lot of fun along the way. Make sure you visit them online at www.snownose.com or go by in person, 1875 Avon Street. Their phone number, 434-295-2159. Snow's Garden
Center. Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's the wind isn't blowing. The wind has calmed down. It's safe to go back outside. You don't have to worry about stuff getting knocked out of the sky and landing on your head. I tell you, yesterday was something else. We were outside moving around some of the new plants that have come into the garden center and everything. And every time we'd move a plant, we'd set it up in the bed, in the display spot. And the wind would knock it over. We'd stand it back up, wind would knock it over again. Then finally, it's like, you know, if you want to be laying down, lay down already. So, yeah, it's always a challenge when we get a windy day like that, trying to keep some of the plants standing up. So sometimes it's better to just let the wind blow them down, and then when they're laying down, just leave them there, because the more times they get knocked over, the more chance there is for something to break. But everything's came through in relatively good shape. We didn't really have too much damage or anything like that at the garden center. We had a gazebo out front, the beautiful rustic iron gazebo that got tipped over. But other than that, we came through all right, and hopefully you did too. With just a few minor inconveniences, a couple of power outages or whatnot, but hopefully no damage or anything like that. But if you did get some damage, just give us a call at 977-1070, and we'll give you some advice on how to deal with that, how to correct any breakage that came in some of your plants because of the wind or trees that came over that you may have to deal with. Give us a call and we can help you out with that. Again, our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you'd like to ask. Before we get too far into the show, we've got a couple of birthdays that we want to take care of for the station. For today, we've got Sean Brown and Diane Kelly are celebrating their birthdays today. We want to wish both of them a very happy birthday this February 26th. And tomorrow, the 27th, Tom Burris will be celebrating his birthday. So happy birthday to one and all. Hopefully you'll have a great birthday and a lot of fun, and congratulate you on making it through another year, and wish you many, many more. Again, our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. It's amazing the wide range of weather conditions that we've had over the last week. I mean, we've had temperatures that were pushing 75 or 80. We've had cold weather that was literally, down 10 degrees below freezing. We've had some snow and ice, and thankfully we got some good rain. But what a roller coaster! And that's the way it is in this area in the spring. For those of you who may be new to the area, we do have some wild and crazy rides weather-wise through the spring, and we're seeing that right now. But it continues to amaze how early things are progressing and everything this year overall. Looking at the forecast, we're going to continue to stay up in the 50s at least through what looks like the next 7 days. We'll have some colder temperatures at night, but still, not much either side of freezing. So it's really going to be good weather to get out and do some things in the garden. And things are really starting to move along. I noticed, I've got some daffodils that aren't too far from being in bloom, some crocuses that are getting ready to come out. All the winter jasmine is in bloom around town and just looking beautiful right now, especially on Preston Avenue. There's lots of the winter jasmine that's in bloom, full color, those yellow flowers. And when you see that, spring can't be too far away. We've got a caller on the line, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning. I have a question about a rose.
Okay.
This rose is not a climber. It's more like a fountain. And it began doing something very strange last year. It's been established for years. But last year, it began having a large number of small buds very close together. The leaves on certain limbs of this rose became very skinny and different from the normal dark green flat leaf that the rose has. There is a bird's nest, I noticed, sitting in the rose bush this year, and I don't know if the birds have had an impact on the rose. But because this appears to be a disease and seems to be pretty widespread in the rose, I don't know what to do about it.
Okay, is it just a few long, kind of odd shoots that are coming out, but you know, kind of long and straight with just
there
smaller?
There are some whole branches, yes, that seem to have this disease.
Okay, and do they form like rosettes of foliage?
Yes, they do.
Kind of up at the top.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a disease called rose rosette, and it can come into a rose bush like that and cause some symptoms very similar to what you're describing. You'll see a branch that'll come out, and it'll just look odd, and then you'll get this big cluster of growth toward the end that the twigs that come out are very very close together and short. And the leaves are just misshapen and kind of twisted and odd looking.
Yeah.
And you just get this almost like a witch's broom of growth at the end of these branches. Unfortunately, it's a disease that there's no spray for. There's nothing you can spray on the plant to control it. If you catch it very very early, you may be able to prune it out. But once it has a chance to kind of take a hold and affect multiple branches in there, a lot of times the only thing that you can really do is just get rid of that plant and pull it up, destroy it, get it out of there, because it can spread to your other roses and infect them as well.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I was afraid it would result in this. Then I must pull it out. Thank you very much for your help.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. I wish I had better news for you, but...
That's all right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to lose it, but there you are. Thank you.
Now, you know, the one thing that you might be able to do is if you feel somewhat confident in being able to propagate, you may be able to try taking some cuttings from the healthy wood and see if those will come through. But with roses, it's not a particularly easy thing to do.
This has been in the ground 18 years.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those ones that you kind of get attached to over time and becomes kind of an anchor in the landscape.
Right.
You always hate to lose those, but
yes.
Unfortunately with this particular disease, there's really not much you can do for it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye now. Our number is 977-1070, and it's a condition in roses that you really want to keep an eye out for because, like I say, it can, once it gets established in one plant, it can move to others. It's a fairly new problem that we haven't seen a lot in the past, but we are starting to see more and more of now. And it really is damaging you end up losing whatever plant that it gets on. If you don't catch it very, very early, and then even then, it may not be, you may not be able to save it. But once you see that in there, either prune it out if you catch it early, or if it's been in there for a little while, go ahead and get rid of the plant before it has a chance to move on to the others that you may have, because it will move from plant to plant to plant with insects and water movement and things like that, and end up killing off all of them or deforming them to the point where they're not good for anything if you're not careful. So do pay attention to that. If you see that witch's broom or rosette of growth that, that comes in. And if you have something that you think might be that and you're not sure, bring a piece of it into the garden center. We'll help you get a good positive or negative diagnosis on it and help you deal with it. But do keep an eye on that with your roses. We've got to take a quick break, but we will be back in a minute with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070 WINA.
With all of the changes taking place in the financial industry, Davenport & Company may seem old-fashioned. They have quietly remained focused on serving your needs for nearly 150 years. As an independent, employee-owned regional investment firm, Davenport can manage your money the same way they manage their own. If you're looking for an investment firm with staying power, consider talking with the investment professionals at Davenport.
To learn more, contact Ralph Rush or Bob Burnett at 296-9013.
Today, most stores are filled with furniture that comes on containers from overseas, and only a small percentage is made from solid wood. Furniture stores have downgraded their quality in the name of larger profits. I'm Zeke Cox, and at Classic Furniture, my family and I have stayed true to our goals of providing real, American-made, solid wood furnishings for your home. You won't find container furniture or ready-to-assemble pieces at Classic Furniture. Just ask our customers who've been shopping with us since 1982. They expect furniture that is built right. Right now, we are beginning our 22nd annual store-wide sale, which means everything at Classic Furniture on Route 29 and our Essentials location on Greenbrier Drive is on sale, including special orders. Stop by to see our newest additions, solid wood Murphy beds, upholstered dining chairs, theater seating, over 200 hand-knotted wool rugs, and the newest designs from Stickley. Bring in your floor plans for free room design service as well. Classic Furniture, real quality furniture.
And welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson. If you have a question that you would like to ask, give us a call at 977-1070, and we'll get you, try to get you some of the best information available locally for whatever is going on with your trees, your shrubs, your landscaping. Looking to put in a flower garden or vegetable garden for this spring, starting seeds, anything, you know, gearing up for spring, your lawn, lots of lawn problems. Everybody's got lawn issues. And if you don't have lawn issues in Charlottesville, you must have either AstroTurf or concrete. Or you just give it over to moss, which is kind of what I seriously contemplate at times because my front yard is very shady and with the heavy clay soils that we have around here, end up getting battling moss all the time. And right now, that's mainly what I have. Of course, a lot of that has to do with the fact that although I spend a lot of time helping people with what they need to do to work on their lawn, I don't get the opportunity to work on my own very often. So it's kind of sad, but that's like, you know, this time of year and you know, a lot of even into the spring, there are a lot of times I'm not home if the sun is shining, I'm not home. But anyhow, we'll give you some good advice with things that you can do to help take care of the issues that you face in your garden. Again, number is 977-1070. Things going on at the garden center right now. We've got just tons and tons and tons of new stuff coming in. We've got stuff coming in every day. We unloaded an entire tractor trailer load of shrubs yesterday, and that was actually our third truckload for the week. And we've got more coming in all the time. So things are really starting to gear up. We've got lots and lots of our spring and summer merchandise for inside the garden center is in and ready to go. All the fertilizers and tools and all the different things that you need to work in your yard and take care of the things that you're doing out in the garden, help you with insects and diseases and pruning and all of that stuff. All of the material is in and ready to go and more coming in all the time. So it's a fun time around the garden center. A couple of things that we got in that are just amazing. We got some beautiful witch hazel in yesterday that's in full bloom and just looks absolutely terrific. And we've also got some winter jasmine that's in bloom. It's a couple things that you can put out in the garden right now that actually have some flowers on it and will bloom and be an accent to your garden and a great asset. And just look terrific for years to come. And it's amazing in this area how you can have things in bloom almost all the time. We've gotten fresh shipments of pansies in. We've got them anywhere from little 4-packs all the way up to some beautiful 6-inch pansies that are just a riot of color instantly in the garden. Some of the pansies that I had overwintering are starting to come back now. They were looking a little bit rough as we went through the December was hard on a lot of stuff. It got so cold so fast and then stayed cold that some of the things like the pansies kind of took a beating, but they are starting to come back now and bloom. There were some the other day, my wife and I were looking at it, she says, what are we going to do with those? They're dead. And I said, no, they're not. Pulled a couple of leaves off of them, and lo and behold, they had a couple of flowers that were starting to come. And it's like, oh, they're blooming. I said, yeah, I told you that they're doing all right. Just give them a little time. They'll be okay. But if you've got some that really took the winter hard, we've got some fresh ones that you can put in, and they've been out and in the weather, so they're fully acclimated and ready to go, and you can get off to a good start. Help to shake off some of the winter blahs in the garden, get some color out there. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. One of the things that we had our first few perennials start to come in. We've got blueberries that are ready to go and some strawberries. We've even got some of our spring and summer flowering bulbs that are in, some of the begonias and gladiolas and dahlias and caladiums and things like that. It's a little early to start putting those out. But they are available and ready to go. You can start putting getting those ready. Start doing your planning ahead. One of the things that we've got coming in this week that it's hard to believe that here we are. Tuesday is the 1st of March, and it's essentially going to be time to start putting in things like your coal crops. I've started thinking about setting out lettuce and cabbage and broccoli, cauliflower, and getting your vegetable garden off to a good start. And one of the key things to think about as you're getting ready to plant your vegetables is the soil. We can never overemphasize the importance of getting off to a good start with the soil. It doesn't matter how good the plants are or what kind of quality the seed is that you plant out for your vegetable garden. And this goes with your perennials, even your shrubs. The quality of the plants really don't matter that much if you're putting them into lousy soil. And unfortunately, this area, we have an abundance of lousy soil. And it's not the end of the world. There's a lot of things that you can do. A lot of them are very, very simple things that can turn even the worst ground into good, fertile, growing areas that will support pretty much anything that you want to put in them. The first thing to start off with is just some good organic matter amendments. And one of the best that we've found is a product called Bumper Crop. We've got that available by the bag. It comes in a 2-cubic-foot bag. And it's just a wonderful soil amendment that you can mix in with your existing soil and create a good, rich growing environment for your plants. One of the things that we hear about pretty frequently is, people come in and they want to just take out all of their existing soil, dig down a foot or so, and bring in bags and bags and bags of dark black topsoil and use that to plant in, and that really doesn't do a very good job of establishing a good planting environment. For one thing, that soil that you're bringing in that comes in the bags, although it's very rich in organic matter and is good stuff, just using it straight into a planting hole like that really is not going to give you the best results. You really want to use the existing soil that you have as a base, as a foundation, and then add things to it mix it in real well, and use that as the foundation of the structure to build the planting environment that you want to work with. Bring in things like bumper crop, or even, you know, if you want to use the bag topsoil to help, you know, amend your soil, that's fine. It's, you know, not quite as good as the bumper crop or a composted manure would be, but work that into your existing soil. And we'll talk a little bit more when we come back about why, you know, why it's not a good idea to completely take out all your old soil and some of the problems that can come from doing that. But mix your amendments into your existing soil and you'll get much, much better results. We've got to take a break for the news, but we will be back in a few minutes with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070 WINA. And welcome back. This is the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson. This is the longest continuously running garden show anywhere that we've been able to find. We haven't been able to find anybody who's been doing it longer than we have. Been doing it since the spring of 1950. Not me personally, but I'm old, but I'm not that old. Or getting old, I should say. I'm not. What is it they say? You're only as old as you feel. But I tell you, there are times this, you know, as we get into and go through the spring, there are times I get to feeling kind of old. Yesterday morning was one of those times. We got finished unloading that entire semi-load of shrubs and trees. I was starting to feel a little old. Partly just because, you know, you get, during the winter, we're doing a lot of projects, working on a lot of things in and around the garden center, working in the nursery, doing a lot of changing and sprucing up and fixing up and repairing and things like that. But you're not doing quite the level of physical activity that you're doing when we're unloading trucks almost every day and moving plants around and loading stuff in cars for people and things like that. And when you first start really getting back into the swing of it in the spring, you start to feel it. And every year it seems like you feel it a little bit more. Anyway, it's a great time of year, and we love it. We love when things are gearing back up. It's a stressful time, a crazy time, but it's also a time that we love because it means we can get back into the garden. We get to get out there and do things and work with plants, which is one of the reasons why we got into this in the first place. Plus, we get to see all of our loyal customers coming back into the garden center and people that we haven't seen maybe for a few weeks because there's not been a lot going on. We're just going to start coming in again. It's always great to see you again and have a chance to say hi and get reacquainted and see what things that you're looking to work on for this spring and help you out with some of those challenges. So, it's like I say, it's a good opportunity to meet old friends and make new ones. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, our number is 977-1070. Give us a call and we'll get you on and try to help you out with whatever's going in your garden for this spring. Before the news break, we were talking about amending your soil, getting ready for planting, especially with vegetable gardens, but it also holds true for flower beds, perennial gardens, and even in your shrubs, in the areas that you're looking to plant stuff, maybe, you know, you haven't before and some of the soil is kind of lacking. The best thing to do, we talked a little bit before the break, is to amend the soil that you have, unless you've got absolute rock in there. Just take the existing soil that you've got and use that as the foundation to build a good planting mix. Work in lots of organic matter, and by organic matter, we're talking about things like composted manure. Peat moss works well, although with peat, you do have to add some additional things to correct for pH imbalances and things like that, because peat moss tends to be very acidic. Some of these other things are, you don't run into those problems as much, but you know, composted manure, some peat moss. Bumper crop is a great ready to go all purpose ready to use organic amendment that you can work into the soil. Working those kinds of things into the soil and then getting a good soil analysis to find out what kind of nutrient content there is in the soil and where your pH is can really help to get you off to a good start, get the soil to where it needs to be to get you the kind of garden results that you're looking for. We've got a caller on the line, so let's go to the phone. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Oh, good morning. I found a moss on a sloping lawn that gets limited sun. I'm thinking perhaps sodding it with hopefully a sod that has a shady lawn seed, maybe at least mixed in with it. And so I would appreciate a suggestion from you. Thank you.
Okay. So you got a lot of moss in that area now?
Yes, Totally moss in what area?
Okay. One of the things that you really need to do before you start anything, you know, as far as a renovation process in there, is to kill off the existing moss.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple different products that you can use that work very well at killing the moss. One is Moss Out. And that's available in a either a liquid spray-on formulation or a granule that you can run out through a fertilizer spreader.
Mm-hmm.
But both do a good job. They turn that moss very quickly. I mean, within a couple of hours, will turn it black. Mm-hmm. and actually kill the moss. You know, typical weed killers that you use don't really have any effect on moss. You need to get something like a Moss Out to actually kill it, and then you know rake it out of there and get rid of it. One of the until recently we haven't really had good commercially available moss killing products, anything that was very effective. So you'd go in and you'd grub out the moss, do the best you can to rake it all out of there, but there was always some left behind that just within a few short weeks started coming right on back.
Mm.
So you had the problem all over again. But using one of these Moss Out type products, you can literally kill off the moss. And although, you know, it's not a guarantee that it won't come back, it helps a lot in the process. Gives you a much better start and a much greater likelihood that you'll be able to eliminate the problem. One of the things that really helps with moss growth and development and makes the conditions right for it is, you say you have limited sunlight in that area.
Yes.
Yeah, the shade really works against you and helps to create the right conditions for the moss to grow. So anything that you can do in there to help get more light into the area is going to be a plus. And I know that's a hard thing to do.
Yes.
Especially if that shade is caused by, large, mature, tall trees, it's very difficult to get up in there and thin that canopy out and get more light into the area without getting a professional arborist to come in. And, that can be, a pretty good amount of money to invest in working on those trees to get some more light in. And then, you may have to do it again in a few years because the trees will grow and fill back in. But anything that you can do to get more light into that area is going to be a big plus. Also, you want to go in before you think about putting down any seed or sod or anything in those areas. You want to work the soil up, get anything that you can do to improve the drainage, even on a sloping scenario with the heavy clay soils that we tend to have in this area. If you've got a lot of water that moves down through that area, you can end up having the equivalent of drainage problems even on a slope. So you want to go through and aerate the soil really, really well with a core aerator, loosen that soil up, or even till it up and work in some organic matter or some permatill or anything like that that's going to help that soil to drain and not hold water.
Mm.
And again, you know, it can be a fairly significant process to do that, but it's going to be one that pays big dividends on down the line.
I see. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. The one last thing that you want to do is you want to run a pH test on that soil and find out where your pH is. Moss tends to favor acidic soils.
Yes.
So anything that you can do to find out where your pH is and then see what you need to do to get that pH level up so that it's not in that acidic range anymore is going to be a big benefit. A lot of people will just go out and throw lime on it, and it may or may not help. And one, you got all these other factors that help to favor the development of the moss that go against you, even in addition to the pH problem. And just attacking the pH isn't necessarily gonna solve the problem. And then also, you know, if you don't know how much lime to put down, you can end up going out and putting a lot down, and it still not being enough.
Yes.
So it really is important to get a pH test done. In addition to adding the lime so that you're sure you're adding enough.
I see. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. Hopefully, you get a combination of those things going and we can help to get rid of that moss problem for you. But just know that you know, it may be an ongoing issue. One of the best things that you can do once you get that lawn established is to keep it as healthy as you possibly can and then really be diligent and be on the lookout for any new moss that comes in there and get it as early as you can.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. And one of the good things about moss out and those moss control products like that is you can use them over the existing turf. So if you start to see a little bit of moss working into some areas, you can put that down and eliminate kill off the moss before it has a chance to get to the point where it's damaging and crowding out your existing lawn. So don't be afraid to use the moss out over existing grass. It'll tolerate that quite well, and you'll be able to get rid of the moss and keep it in check before it has a chance to really damage the grass that you're trying to grow in those areas. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. Just to real quickly kind of finish up what we were talking about on amending soils, we talked about before the news break that, you know, some people want to come in and take out all of their soil, dig down a foot or two and take everything out and start from scratch. And again, it really is not a good idea. There are some problems that you can run into by doing that. Soils for drainage and things like that, they want as uniform a condition as they can get. Soil or water in the soil doesn't move very well between one type of soil and another. So if you go in and dig everything out and put in this real different type of soil to create a planting bed, the moisture is there. You know, when we get rain or when you water your plants, the water just does not move very well from one soil, distinct soil type to another, and you can end up getting some real drainage problems in an area by doing that. So, like I say, you want to work with the existing soil, amend it, add things to it to build on it, and that's really going to give you your best long-term results. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a minute with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. With all of the wind that's been whipping around here, and I cannot remember a time when we've had back-to-back, and I was actually talking to Brantley Usher, the weatherman over at Channel 19 last night, about, you know, when was the last time we had back-to-back high wind weather events the way we have in the last couple or 3 weeks. You know, the intensity of the wind. I mean, this time of year you expect some wind. I mean, March is always kind of a blustery time. But the kinds of winds that we've had yesterday and last weekend and then even, you know, midweek, the week before that, when we're just getting such high winds and the damage, the trees coming down and everything. associated with some of these fronts moving through. It's been a long time since we've seen this kind of severe winds, in such a short period of time. And there are some things that are starting to show a little bit of damage. You know, some of your newly planted trees can get blown over. You know, we always get calls that trees that we put in a couple of months back have blown over in the wind, and we need some help getting them set back up and straightened. And with newly planted things, that's something that you can definitely do, and the earlier you get on it, the better. Even with some things that have been in the ground for a few years that have kind of gotten, maybe a bit of a lean to them, or have gotten, even blown over in the winds that we've had the last couple of days, there are things that you can do to go out and straighten those up. But the one of the keys is to do it as soon as you can after the wind. You don't want to let it go for a week or two. Get out there and you can straighten them back up and get them staked and get them secured in the ground so that hopefully it won't be an issue in the future. Anytime you're staking a plant, there are a couple things that you want to keep in mind. Number one is you want to make sure that the plant is anchored securely, but not too tight. You want the plant to be able to move some. And if you're staking it if you've had a tree that's got a lean to it and you're staking it to try to straighten it back up, you can go ahead and cinch it in there fairly tight and let it be that way for a few months at most to allow the root system to establish itself and get the plant growing in the direction that you want it to. But if you're just trying to keep a plant from potentially blowing over, you don't want to make that staking system so secure that the plant's not able to move a little bit. You want to get it secure enough that it's not going to blow completely over. If the wind really starts to get on it, it's going to have some support. But you want to allow it to move a little bit and have some flexibility so that it's not held in there real, real rigidly, because then you can actually cause some problems with the development of the tree. And if it gets too windy, you can actually cause it to snap off if it's not able to flex at least a little bit. So make sure that you don't have it too tightly. The other thing is you want to make sure that those, whatever you're using to secure the tree to the stakes isn't wrapped around the trunk too tightly so that the tree ends up growing over it, or it ends up rubbing and cutting into the bark. If you're using rope or especially wire or cable to attach secure the stakes to the tree, you want to make sure that you run that through a piece of old garden hose or something similar so that you've got something that's going to be relatively soft against the trunk and also spread out the force so that it's not going to dig in and cut into the bark. The other thing that you want to keep a real close watch on is as that tree grows and matures, make sure that you remove those stakes or at least keep loosening them as the tree grows so that tree has a chance to, the trunk has a chance to expand and grow and you're not girdling it. All too often we see trees that the staking material has been left on too long and the bark has literally started to grow around the hose and the wire that was used for the staking system, and you end up with a weak spot in the tree and even see trees damaged to the point where they break off at that point because they were weakened by having the stakes left on too long and not taking the care to loosen them up and make sure that the plant can still grow and move and it's not bound in by the staking system. So, really keep an eye on that to make sure that the tree is going to be able to survive long term. The other thing that you want to do is make sure that whatever system that you use, make sure that you don't create other problems for yourself as you're doing it. make sure that you drive the stakes into the ground far enough away from the root ball so that you're not damaging the root system of the tree by having the stakes in there, and that you're going to be able to get them out without doing more damage when the tree has had a chance to establish itself and the stakes are no longer useful. In most scenarios, we don't stake trees. We don't feel that it ends up being necessary. But if you're in an area where you've got potential for a lot of high winds, sitting up on top of a hill or something like that, it may be necessary and it may be a good idea to go ahead and stake the trees initially when they're put in. But in most scenarios, it's not necessary. So just kind of few things to kind of keep in mind as you're looking at putting in new trees or dealing with existing trees that may have gotten a little bit damaged or a little bit knocked out of shape by the wind that we had the last few days. As far as broken branches and things like that, we always get calls and, I got a Japanese maple or a prized plant of some kind that had a branch get broken out. It's still attached, but it's just kind of split. Is there anything that I can do to save it? And the best advice that I can give you on that is if you see it happen, if you're right there when it happens, sometimes you can go out there and pull the two pieces back together and kind of wrap them with a flexible tape that can hold it back together. And when I have flexible tape, I'm talking about, some of the stretch tie tape that we use to secure plants in the garden. A lot of times you can use that and you may be able to get it to graft itself back together. Sometimes it'll work. More often than not, it doesn't, but it's, if you see it happen and can get out there right away before things have a chance to really callus over and dry off in the wound, you may be able to get them to come back together, and it's worth a try. If it's been a while, if it's something that happened yesterday and you're just noticing it today, the chances of that being successful are pretty slim. And unfortunately, your best option would be to go in there and prune out the damage, clean it up real well, get a good smooth surface so you don't have a lot of ragged, broken wood in there, and allow the plant to just kind of grow back in around that spot naturally. Again, if it's something that you have questions about or anything, you can bring pictures of it into the garden center. We'd be glad to give you some advice on what's going to be the best way to deal with it. But it's unfortunate that some of those things happen, but when we have the kind of weather that we've had over the last few days, unfortunately we see more of it than we'd like. But hopefully it's not something that you've had problems with in your garden. But if it is, like I say, bring some pictures of it into the garden center. We'd be glad to help you get you some good advice on what you can do to fix it. We're about out of time for this week, but I'd like to thank you for joining us. And we've got lots of things going on at the garden center. We've got new stuff coming in all the time. We got a shipment of new clay pots and planters in yesterday. We've had tractor trailer loads of plants coming in about every other day, and we'll continue to throughout the spring. It's a great opportunity to come out and see what's new in the garden center. We're getting new stuff in all the time. You can come out and pick up some additions to put in right away, or just come out and get some inspiration get some ideas on how you can get geared up for the spring in your garden. We've got lots of advice and people around that can help you out with all of the challenges. We hope to see you at the garden center. If not, we'll see you back here next week. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later. This is the Snow Nose Gardening Show on AM 1070 WINA.